This morning, it's a privilege to have some guests with us. I don't know how many of you have had the privilege yet to meet Jeff and Helen Laird. Jeff was recently, I guess about a year ago, elected to serve our district as assistant superintendent. And when the assistant superintendent approaches you at general conference and says, I haven't been to PPT, I'd like to come, I'm like, did the board ask you? So we're so thrilled to have him. Him and his wife have been in ministry for over 30 years. I wasn't aware until I read the bio that he actually had a stint at Woodvale. Some of you would know that little church in Ottawa. And so he pastored there for a while. And they have three children and two in-laws. And the thing that impressed me the most with his bio wasn't about his theological education or his ministry history, was that he's a Toronto fan. Don't leave. Some of you want to leave. I know. You're saying not another one. So welcome to Jeff. We'll just stand for a moment so they can and wave to the folks. Let's welcome Jeff and Helen to our church this morning. And welcome. He serves the Eastern Ontario and Nunavut District. So now you've been, as of today, you've been to the best church in the entire district. Take your time. There's lots of time.
You don't finish. We have until 3 o'clock, he said. Yeah, so. Anyway, morning, everybody. It was fun running into your pastor at General Conference in Niagara Falls. And we've been in this role now for about 18 months. And we've been trying to get around to as many churches as we possibly can. And did you know that in Eastern Ontario and Nunavut District, there's over 150 churches. And they go from Yonge Street in Toronto all the way up to the border of Quebec. And it's hard to get around to every church all the time. And anyway, bumped into your pastor and I said, you know, I think I've been at every church in the valley except for yours. I'm due for a PPT visit. And so just thrilled that it worked out and that we're here. I just wanted to say quick before we get into the word today, I was just really encouraged by so many of the components of your service today. My role at the district is ministry. I'm the assistant superintendent for ministry, meaning I look after missions and all the specialized ministries, the youth, the children, all that stuff, the camps. And it was awesome to hear you pray for Scott and Melissa Williams. And you need to know that they are incredible people who are doing amazing things. And if you ever have extra missions money, Pastor, just call me. I will find a place for it. And there are always needs going on. In fact, Helen and I are probably heading over to Europe this fall for a tour of some of our missions work over there. And you know what they're calling Europe now, especially Eastern Europe? They're calling it the new dark continent, because there are barely any believers, barely any churches, and the work that is there is really in its infancy stage. They say in Eastern Europe, I mean like Serbia, Slovakia, and sort of Belgium and kind of Poland and all in that region, that the Christian population is 0.01. We're not even close to 1%. And so if you ever have some money, I got some projects in Eastern Europe that would love to partner with you. But so thank you for that so much. And also about Pursue and the youth convention that just happened. It was awesome. And I know, did you guys see on the screen the other group that was meeting in Whitby? You saw that on the screen? Yeah, so between, we have a problem, and it's a good one, that our junior high and our senior high ministry across the district is literally exploding. And we cannot fit them in. Yeah. So all of our camps, both Ottawa Valley, you know, you Ottawa Valley people, what it's like when youth camp descends on the camp. And it is unbelievable. And Lakeshore Camp in Cobourg is the same. Pursue the Youth Convention is RAM. We had about, I think the number that I heard was right around 1,500 students between the two, between Ottawa and Whitby. And so it is unbelievable. God is on the move, amen? And so it's just amazing. So thank you for all of your help and your support in all of that. I wanted to just give you just two, as I got all day now, but I just wanted to give you a quick, people ask me, how did this be? How did you end up doing this job? Are you crazy? And well, that might be the case, but I want you to know that we were pastoring, our last pastorate was down in Stouffville, which is just north of Toronto, and we had been going through something really special in Stouffville. I was driving down the road one day, and God gave me this vision of a new church and a new property and miracle. It's a long story. We'll have to come back and tell you again some other time. But dozens and dozens of miracles happened. We ended up building, buying property, getting it zoned, which is a miracle in itself, and building a brand new church, a $10 million project. And we had $200,000 left over in our building fund. And so, come on, we paid cash for a brand new building. And that was pretty awesome. And so in the midst of all that, we just finished a brand new building, and you know what happens. COVID hits. And so we struggle through COVID, and we get through it like everyone did. And then I got a call from Jason, who our superintendent, and he said, would you like to go out for breakfast with me? And you're thinking, what am I coming here for? Well, I'm saying, what does he want to go out for breakfast with me for, right? And he started to lay out this idea of having me come. And when Jason replaced Craig, he was asking me to come and to take his old spot. And I said to him, Jason, are you crazy? I just went through a massive building program. COVID's ending. We're super excited about getting in the building and excited about everything that God is doing. I don't think the timing is right. And so he kept at me and at me and at me until one day I said to him, listen, if you keep asking, I'm going to have to pray about it. And I don't want to. Just leave me alone. I'm happy what I'm doing. But how many know that at the end of the day, who are we but servants of God, right? And so what God says, you do. And so it became clear to both Helen and I that this is what God had called us to. And so 18 months, it's been a whirlwind. It's, you know, when you start a new job with wearing 12 different hats and you walk in and you go, okay, it's like they turn the fire hose on full tilt and you just walk in and get blasted. And so it's been quite a ride, but it is, it's amazing. And we're just privileged to serve and privileged to do all that we can for the kingdom. We are Team Jesus. Amen. We are in this together. And never feel like you're alone, because you're not alone. You're part of a huge family that stretches all the way to BC with hundreds of churches, over 1,200 churches, and all kinds of believers. And we are working this, that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so be encouraged today. It's a big team, and we're all fighting the good fight together. I wanted to share with you this scripture. If you can put it up for me, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And it says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, and then you won't become weary and give up. I was reading this passage a while ago, and you know the Disney movie Frozen? Any fans, if you have children or grandchildren? Yeah. Okay, so you know that song, Let It Go, Let It Go. You know that song, right? You know, turn away and slam the door, you know, and it goes on, right? I was thinking of that song as I read this passage. He's saying here, let it go, let it go, let it go. Turn away from anything that is hindering your relationship. What is holding you back? He's saying, let it go. Is there something that is hindering your relationship with Jesus? And I was thinking about that phrase, let it go, a lot as I was reading this passage, because I think it connects. And so, as believers, we got to have this determination in our hearts to let go of anything. It says, let go of anything that so easily entangles. Let go of everything that slows you down. Let go of every weight. Surrender it all to Jesus. Let it go and move on in freedom. Come on, say it with me. Let it go. This is the phrase I want you to walk out with today, all right? We've got to let this stuff go. We've got to prioritize Jesus. Time is short. He's coming back. And his kingdom is worth fighting for. His kingdom is worth serving. We are in an eternal battle for the lives and hearts of men and women and boys and girls and every person on the planet. And we have got to get rid of the sin that's tripping us up. We've got to get rid of the habits and the issues and the priorities that take us away from our relationship with God. We've got to let it go. And so I want to encourage you with that today. Hebrews 12:1, he says, strip off every weight that slows you down, especially the sin that so easily trips you up. Like, every believer wants to finish well. Everybody wants to finish well. We don't want to look back on our lives as we age and see our dreams unrealized, our potential unfulfilled. There's things that we could have done, but we never did. There's stuff that was in our lives that kept sidetracking us and pulling us to the left and to the right. And if we'd have just focused a bit more, if we'd have just got a bit more serious, we could have got a lot more things done. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us to look, to be introspective enough to say, what's my schedule like, really? As he's saying, it's easy when we say sin, right? Strip off the sin. Of course, of course. But there's some things in our lives that aren't sin, but still need to be let go of, right? And these verses make the point that anything that is hindering your faith, anything that's causing distraction, anything that's pulling you away or weighing you down or slowing you down needs to be stripped off and let it go. It's unnecessary. It's hindering you from moving forward with the most important thing. And so think about things, we'll get to the sin in a second, but think about things that in your life that maybe aren't necessarily sin, but can sort of pull you aside, slow you down, hinder you. Like, for some people, it's possessions. We love our stuff. We love our cars, our trucks. OV people, your trailer. Oh, like all of our stuff, you know, our fishing gear, you know, all of the things that give us pleasure. And sometimes it becomes a higher priority than Jesus. Don't say amen, just go, yeah, probably true, yeah. You know? Or activities. Like, it's hard. We have three boys, and when they were young, you want your kids involved with stuff, right? So they're playing on teams, or they're, you know, taking music classes, or doing this or that. And it got to the point where I said, we're so busy running around to hockey games, and baseball games, and football games, and everything else. It's hard to stay on track. And so there sometimes needs to be some stuff that needs to be let go of, because I'm trying to teach our children, we're trying to teach our children what we prioritize. Now you can say amen to that, right? And so if I'm running around to every other thing except God's stuff, what am I saying to them? What am I teaching them? What am I showing them? And so I think sometimes our schedule gets in the way of what we want to do for God and in our relationship with Him. Like during COVID, you know how many people got addicted to Amazon and boxes arriving at your door constantly? It's like the world can be dropped at my front door. And you prime people, you get it the next day. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, it becomes this obsession. And I'm just encouraging you, the sin, of course, yeah, and we'll get to that in just a second, but it's not just the sin. Where does Jesus get priority in your schedule? If we were to follow you around for a week, where does Jesus fit in? Are we locking in, or is he thrown in? Are we making it to church? Are we making it to Bible study or midweek? Are we doing personal devotions? Are we praying in our car? Like, where does he fit in? And there's so much going on in our minds. There's so much on our plates. We are so full that sometimes the Lord gets squeezed out. And that's just the truth for all of us. And so I'm encouraging you and me, all of us, what adjustments do we need to make? What do we need to let go of to make sure that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is sitting on the throne in my life? And when people follow me around and look at my schedule, they know who I serve and they know what I prioritize. And this is it's an epidemic in our day of our plates being so full and Jesus getting squeezed out. And so I'm encouraging you to think about that. So he says, strip off the weight, especially the sin. If you put up for me Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So some things he's saying, listen, have no place in the life of a believer. There are traits and characteristics that were a part of our lives before we came to faith, but now as children of God, they must be let go of. And so he gives this little snippet: bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander. They're not part of who we are now in Jesus. And so he's saying, listen, let go of this stuff and pick up the kindness, the compassion, the forgiveness. This is what to dominate your life now. That stuff is part of the old stuff that we've let go of and we can't let creep back in. And this is a constant battle. And so he's reminding us, and we know that this small list, it's just the tip of the iceberg, right? Of the sin, of the negative emotions that we can carry around. Like, think about it. Who wakes up in the morning and says, hey, I hope somebody does something awful to me today so that I can get angry, refuse to forgive them, and walk around in deep bitterness? Like, nobody wakes up thinking that way, but guess what? Life happens. And the older we get, the more life happens. And things start to pile up in our lives in a way that if we're not continually being refreshed and letting this stuff go, guess what happens? They creep into our soul in a deeper way than we would like it to be. You mentioned that we pastored at Woodvale, and we were the worship pastor there for 8 years and had an amazing, just an amazing time. It's a great, great church. And one day, I was driving down to illustrate what I just said. One day I was driving down, anyone know Merivale Road, right in the middle of Ottawa there? So I was driving down Merivale Road, and I turned out of a parking lot, and the lady behind me, for some strange reason, felt like I cut her off. I don't know if I did or not. It's been so long, I can't remember. But she was rather colorful. Behind me, her hands were making funny motions, and her face got all red, and like she was freaking out, right? And so I was like, I was looking at her like, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong? Like, I didn't even do anything. Why are you freaking out? Anyway, Merivale's a long road, and at the next light, she pulled up beside me. But I wound down my window and I looked over at her and I said, "Are you all right?" And round two started. She didn't receive that well at all. The fingers were doing things, and I was like, "Well, you have a nice day, ma'am. God bless you." And off I went. And it impacted me in the sense of, you know, what's in you comes out when you get poked, right? Like the teacup that's full right to the brim, and one little poke, and it comes out. This lady had stuff. And it wasn't me cutting her off in traffic. There was deeper things going on in her life. I poked her, and it spilled out pretty good. And it got me thinking about this passage again, about what is the older we get and the more things happen to us of the negative nature. And if I'm not constantly letting this go, it starts to build up. You know this is true, amen? This is true in our lives. And like, how many of you know, now these people don't exist here in PPT, but you know elsewhere they do, right? Like sometimes you go to visit, let's say, a senior citizen of 90 years old. They've lived a lot of life. And you sit down with them for a cup of tea, and they're as sweet as pie. You know those people? They pray for you, they encourage you, they say, "Thank you, Pastor." They're just warm and just pleasant, a joy to be around. And then there's some others. You know, none here, Pastor Paul and PPT, but you know, and you spend 20 minutes with somebody, but it feels like 7 hours, and an IV has drained all the blood out of you because they've just sucked all the joy out of your life and out of the room, you know? And you think, so what's the difference between the 90-year-old who's pleasant and the 90-year-old who seems to be negative and bitter and angry and hard? It's not that the one person hasn't experienced a lot of bad stuff. By the time we're that age, we've all experienced stuff. But somebody has learned how to let it go. Somebody has learned not to let it creep into their spirit, to sit in their mind. Somebody has let go of the bitterness. Somebody has let go of the rage. Somebody has let go of the harshness. Somebody has let go of the unforgiveness. And somebody has not. And it seems to me that as we age, we can begin to see these people. And trust me, as a pastor, you see it. There are pleasant people who know how to deal with stuff, and there are people who are just hurting and broken and need help to let some stuff go. People need to be healed in Jesus' name. And so I'm encouraging us, listen, we want to finish well. Amen? We want to be 90, 95. As long as the Lord gives us breath, we want to be men and women who are sweet, who are kind, who have learned how to let it go and prioritize the eternal things and to let go of the stuff. If someone hurts us, we pray for them. If someone speaks bad about us, we say, "Lord, you defend me. I can't pick that baggage up. I've got to let it go. I've got to let it go." Say it with me. Let it go. Let that stuff go. It will hurt you. And the more stuff we pick up, the more weight you pick up. And I don't mean physical. I mean, it drags you down, slows you down, turns you away from God. It's hard to walk into the presence of the Lord, to lift your hands and to sing with joy and freedom when you are raging on the inside, filled with hurt and bitterness and unforgiveness and all of the things that we pick up. And so it's a part of this process. So how do we let go of the stuff? There's a couple of things that I think are important, and I wanted to mention them to you today. One is this. We've got to let the Holy Spirit reveal it. It's got to be Him. It can't be your pastor, your spouse, even though they see it. It's really got to be Jesus who whispers it in the quiet moments in your life and says, "Son, daughter, this needs to be dealt with. You've got to let this go." You know why? It's because most of us would say, if you're asked, hey, I'm not bitter. I've dealt with my stuff pretty good. I've been through some things, but my baggage is pretty minimal. I've let go of my anger and my unforgiveness most of the time. It's under control. But here's the thing. We always cheer for us, right? I think I'm wonderful most of the time. And so here's the deal. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. And so put up for me Jeremiah 17:9 says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Well, there's one who knows. And when the Holy Spirit starts dropping little things in your mind, saying, son, daughter, this needs to be dealt with. Hey, you need to let this go. Hey, you need to move on. All of a sudden, you begin to see things from a different perspective. If you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you these things, then he will from his perspective. And because he's perfect and he's always for us and not against us, he doesn't condemn us, but he will convict us to move us along. Amen? And so he'll point things out in our lives to say, hey, time. Hey, what about this? Time. And you see actually a great example, David, in Psalm 139, if you put it up for me. He says this at the very end of this amazing psalm. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And this is so awesome. He says, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Isn't that a powerful prayer? He is saying, Lord, please reveal anything that's in me that is offensive to you. Anything in me that I need to let go of, I want to know. Not from anyone else's perspective. I want you to tell me what I need to deal with. And so I think there's a lesson there for us to learn. So how do you move forward? How do you let this stuff go? I think the first step is you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. And listen carefully for the answer. The second one is this. Now you've got to let the Holy Spirit replace it. This is a work of the Spirit, by the way. You can't work this, you know, out of your life without the power of the Spirit. It's got to be him. And so he is going to reveal it, but now he wants to replace it. Many of you know, remember Isaiah, it's Isaiah 61, you know, where it talks about this great exchange that God has for us. You know, he wants to give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise, right, instead of a spirit of heaviness. And there's this swap, this exchange that he wants to make. And put up for me Ephesians 4:22. It says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, here's the key. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts. Let the Holy Spirit replace your attitude. It's a work of the Spirit. And so he's saying, hey, remember who I am. You want to walk around. You may not want to walk around, but you are walking around in anger and bitterness and rage and addiction and self-esteem issues and personal problems. And I am the Almighty Most High God. He's saying, there's an exchange for you. I want to give you beauty for your ashes. I want to give you the oil of joy for your mourning. I want to give you a garment of praise, not a spirit of heaviness. There's an exchange that can happen when we ask him to. Somebody said amen. It's part of what he does. He's working on us to make us more like Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit will always do his part if you're willing to stay open to him. If you're willing to let him work at it and you are willing to work at it as well. And really, why should we accept anything less than the best that God has for us? Why should we accept anything less? Why should I walk around in ashes when he wants to give me beauty? Why should I walk around in pain and suffering when he wants to give me joy and peace? Why do I settle for it when the exchange is ready to be made? When he says, come to me, all you who are burdened. I'll give you rest. I'll give you what you need. I'll make the exchange. Ask me. I'll show you what it is, and then I'll help replace it in your life. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't just point it out and walk away. He points it out and then says, come, son and daughter. Now let me help you. Let me replace it. Let me give you something better. I've got the best for you. And too often, even those of us who walk around saying we're spirit-filled people, we keep our baggage. And the baggage needs to be let go of. And so I'm encouraging you today, let the Holy Spirit reveal it, and let the Holy Spirit replace it. Are you willing to work at it? You know, we're really called to work out our salvation, right? We're called to work at living holy and to prioritize Jesus in our lives. And there's always this sense of progression, right, in our walk with Christ. Like, we conquer things over time. Like, how many of you have served God and you can say, hey, something that bothered me 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago, you know, the Lord has freed me from it. It doesn't bother me anymore, right? How many, right? How many? Put up your hand. Like, you've made progress in your relationship with God. Some things the enemy used to tempt you in, now it's not a temptation anymore. You've made progress. You've let it go. You've made a replacement. Something's gotten better. And so this is what he's calling us to. Let go of the stuff that is hindering us. Let go of the stuff that is tripping us up. Let go of the stuff that is weighing us down. He wants you to be free in Jesus' name. He wants you to walk around with power and anointing and joy. That's what he has for us, and we shouldn't accept anything less. So it's easy to say, I understand, I'm a normal human too. And we are all susceptible to falling back into things, falling back into old ways and old habits. But I'm here to encourage you today, if you stay honest, if you stay vigilant, if you stay sensitive to the work of the Spirit in your life, you can let go of anything that gets in your way. There is joy in your future. There is freedom. There is hope because God is a God of the impossible. And so I just wanted to encourage you with that today. And let me say this too, because I think I see this a lot. So we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it. We ask the Holy Spirit to replace it. But one thing that's really important that I've seen a lot to move forward, we have got to find healing from our past. It's a huge thing in our lives. Doesn't matter if you're a teenager or a young adult or a middle-aged person or it all comes back to the things that the enemy uses from our past to keep us from moving ahead with power and victory. And I've noticed two main things about our past. One, you can be loaded with guilt and shame over the things that you have done, or you can be filled with rage and anger and unforgiveness over the things that have been done to you. And either way, whatever it is in our past, things that you have done or things that have been done to you, we have got to let it go. Say it again with me. Come on. Let it go. You got to let it go. I know it's easier said than done. I appreciate that. But this stuff is not of God, and it's stuff that we need the work of the Spirit to help us, to move us forward in Him. You know, the Apostle Paul is a really great example of a person who has both of those in his past. Think about the Apostle Paul. First, he was a nasty, nasty dude, right? You remember? He was throwing Christians in prison. He was there cheering them on as they stoned Stephen, you know. He was just a bad, bad man with a dark soul. And until the day that he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And so think about after he meets Jesus, and now he's serving God, and he's surrendered his life to God in a way that we haven't seen. Like, the Apostle Paul was so unique in many ways. But think about his life. He's now serving someone, I think it was you, hey, just because we're Christians, things don't go easy for us. Think about the Apostle Paul. Well, he's beaten many times. He's thrown in jail many times. He's given a thorn in the flesh that God says, I'm not going to take it away, right? He was deserted by people that he trusted. I mean, think about all the stuff that he could have been angry about. He could have been bitter about. He was shipwrecked, bitten by a snake. Like, really, Lord? I really deserve this? Like, think about his reaction to all this stuff. All and his past and his life is checkered with all of these things that he could have been embittered to. I mean, imagine him walking on his missionary journeys, and he walks in, and the Lord is beginning to heal people and save people, and God is anointing him. You think the enemy is not whispering in his ear? You think he's not saying, yeah, but they don't know what you used to be. They don't know what you used to do. You can only imagine the chatter that was going on in his ear. And then he's serving God, and trouble and suffering and brutal things begin to happen. And yet, at the end of his day, this is what gives me hope and should give us all hope. He said these words to the Philippians, if you put it up for me, Philippians 3. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. He had a past, a big one. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. See, he wasn't going to let his past get in the way. He wasn't going to let the stuff that he did get in his way, and he wasn't going to let the stuff that was done to him get in his way. He's saying, I'm not perfect, I haven't arrived, but this one thing I do, I am pressing on. I'm going to forget the past, and I'm going to receive what God has for me, and I'm going to serve him with all my might, and I'm going to let go of all this other stuff, because it's rubbish and it's trash, and it's only going to slow me down, trip me up, or turn me away, and I can't let it do that to me. Do you understand how powerful this verse is when you look at his life? So it's something that can be done. So let me wrap up here. Why should we do this? Why should we be bothered with letting this stuff go? Like, why should this even be a concern? Why should we strip off every weight and every sin? Like, I think the why is important. And thank you for asking. I give some thought to that. So why? I'm going to tell you why. So the why is actually super important. It's because there's eternity at stake. There's eternity here at stake. And not just your eternity, but the eternity of all the people that you can impact when the anointing and the power of God is resting on your life. When the joy of the Lord is on you. When the peace of the Lord is on you. How many more people can you impact? How many more lives can you touch? If you're walking around filled with baggage and rage and heaviness, freaking out when someone cuts you off in traffic, deal with it. Something's in you. You shouldn't have to respond that way. Maybe something's triggered that. Like, whatever it is, we've got to get free. We've got to let this stuff go because eternity is at stake. All of our stuff doesn't mean a hill of beans at the end. It's going to be us and Jesus, and it better be right, amen? And so this stuff is so important. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:25. Paul says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. This is the difference, right? We are fighting for the lives of men and women on this planet. What we do matters. Who you are matters. You're a child of God. So walk in His freedom, walk in His anointing, walk in His power, and be used by God to touch this town and this community. And let's see what God can do through the lives of men and women who are fully committed to serving Him. We make this commitment to the one who died for us. We don't do it for anybody else or for any other reason. We do it for Him because He's worthy. He's worthy. He gave me more than I could ever ask for. He gave me more hope than I could ever hope for. He has freed me, given me life now and forevermore. And He deserves to be served to the fullest capacity that I can serve Him. Whatever gift He's given me, I've got to give it back. Whatever He blesses me with, I've got to surrender it back. It is for the kingdom and for the sake of Christ. It is for eternity. We are not playing games. There is a heaven and a hell, and we want people to be saved. And so we've got to say, Lord, use me. Get rid of my baggage so I can be the person of God that can be used in a greater way. Whatever God has done in you and through you in the past, come on. It pales in comparison to what He can do. The revival is coming. God is on the move. Before He comes, we need to be active all over the world to see people hear and know the love of Christ. It's on us, and we can't play games. It is for the sake of eternity. And so He's saying, come on, PPT. Well, that's not in the scripture, but I added that. Let it go. Let it go. It won't matter in the end what that person did to you, what they said to you, what you've done in the past. It's under the blood. He's forgiven you and set you free. It's time to walk in power. It's time to walk in freedom. It's time to let this stuff go so you can be all that He wants you to be. We have got to let it go. And too often we don't. And I'm encouraging you today, there's eternity at stake. It's important. Why do we do this? Why should I worry about the unforgiveness in my heart? Why should I worry about the rage that I have, the anger management problem that I have? Because you're in a battle for the souls of men and women for all of eternity. That's why it matters. And the more that He does in you, come on, the more that He's going to do through you. So fix this, and all of a sudden your power gets more, your anointing gets better, your outreach gets stronger. All of a sudden you trust God, take a step, He blesses you more. You give Him that, He blesses you more, right? Talents, when you use it, He gives you more. And so there's something about the why that's so, so important. Hebrews 12:2, He says, because of the joy that was awaiting Him, Jesus endured the cross because of the joy that was awaiting Him. Think about that. He endured the cross and disregarded His shame. But think about it. It wasn't the joy that He's talking about. It's not just Jesus finishing His mission for His own personal sake and going to heaven. But His joy was in knowing that His victory over sin and death would allow every man and woman and boy and girl on the planet to be saved. That He died so that we could live. He gave Himself to agony and to death and thought that it was a price worth paying because He wanted us to be saved. This is powerful stuff. We don't deserve it, but yet we have it. There is eternity that is awaiting us. Jesus' eye the whole time was on the long-term goal, right? I'll endure the cross. Why? Because I know what's going to happen after I win. We have to have a long-term goal. Let's deal with our rage. Let's deal with our self-esteem issues. Let's deal with our fear. Let's deal with our addictions and our baggage. Whatever it is, It's time to let it go. We are not playing. We have a job to do and a mission that is on us. And we must operate in the power of the Spirit or we are doomed. It cannot be done. It is not by might. Come on. It is not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's only Him. So this long-term goal, I think, is so important to keep in mind. The days are short, my friends, and we've got to take the call of God on our lives more seriously now than ever before. We are laboring for things that matter for all of eternity, for all of eternity. We're not laboring to buy a boat. We're not laboring to buy a bigger house. Those things are wonderful. If the Lord blesses you, you go for it. But there's a call on us to labor for the kingdom. And it really, really matters. And so I encourage you in that. Let me wrap up. I don't know how long I've been, Pastor. So you still with me? All right, we'll wrap up this. Hebrews 12 says also, right at the last verses that we were reading there was, to run with endurance the race that God has set before us. It says we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. So he's saying, listen, there's someone, and his name is Jesus, who starts our faith. He completes it in us. So he's saying, fix your eyes on Jesus because he's the only one that can do this. He's the one that can do what only he can do. And so we're in a marathon, we're not in a sprint. We want to finish well, amen? We want to finish well. We don't just want to go up like a balled up piece of paper in a fire. Goes up, it's lovely for 5 seconds. We want to be a good piece of hardwood that burns for a long time, right? And so the only way that we're going to endure the ups and downs of life and all the challenges and all the things that are coming at us, he's saying the only way you're going to run with endurance is to fix your eyes on the one. He's the one that started your faith, and he's the one that's going to finish your faith. So keep your eyes on him. Above everything else, above all the rage, all the noise, all the distraction, moment by moment, day by day, week by week, year by year, we need to keep our eyes fixed on the one who died for us. So the strength, the joy, the wisdom, the courage, the direction, the healing, all this stuff that we need to keep going, it comes to us by the Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing? I'm sure you talked about the Holy Spirit last week on Pentecost Sunday, but isn't it amazing when Jesus is getting ready to go and he says to his disciples, it's good that I go. And they're thinking, no, this is not good that you go. No, guys, it's good that I go. Because when I go, he will come. And he will lead you into all truth. And he will comfort you. And he will direct your steps. And he will empower you. And he will strengthen you. And he will give you everything you need to fulfill the mission. We're on a supernatural mission. And there's no way we can accomplish a supernatural mission unless we have supernatural power, right? He said, don't you dare leave Jerusalem until he comes. For when he comes, I say to people sometimes, Peter went from Clark Kent to Superman, right? Think about it. He's hiding, he's denying Jesus, right? And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit shows up. And Peter gets up unplanned in Acts chapter 2, speaks this powerful sermon. 3,000 people get saved. The church is beginning. Acts chapter 3, he goes on to heal the blind beggar on his way to the temple. Acts 4, he says to the religious leaders, hey, you can do whatever you want, but we're going to obey God rather than man. Do you see? All of a sudden, his fear is gone. His confidence rises. Like, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit turned him into son. Then Acts chapter 5, he's walking down the road, and people were pulling out their sick people on the streets just to let the shadow of Peter go by. Because the anointing and the power was on him so strong. And a few days ago, this guy was saying he didn't even know who Jesus was. This is a work of the Spirit. The baggage Peter had, the baggage we have from the things we've done that we're ashamed of, the things that have been done to us that have hurt us deeply and caused us pain. It is time, PPT, let it go. We are in a fight for eternity, and it matters. It matters. It matters. Be free in Jesus' name. So come on, let it go. Let it go. Come on. Turn away and slam the door. Come on. It's time, church. It's time. Come on. Say it with me. Let it go. Come on. Say it with me. It's time to. One more time. It's time to. Come on. Stand with me for a moment. Just bow your heads and close your eyes just to give people privacy just for a moment. I'm not going to point anybody out or do anything like that. But I want to just encourage a response from you this morning. As I've been sharing this passage and talking about this, has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you? Has He been pointing something in your life that you need to let go of? Has He been saying, hey, your priorities, they need to be readjusted? Some things have crept in, and they're sitting on the throne, the spot where I used to be. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's not sin. But whatever it is, it needs to be let go of. And just in this moment, I just want to pray for you. If that's you today, and you say, you know, yeah, Pastor Jeff, there's something that I know that's been weighing me down, troubling me, sidetracking me, hindering me, and this has reminded me I need to let it go. It's time. If that's you today, would you just put up your hand and just let me see? Yeah, thank you. Don't be ashamed. Just, it's time. We all struggle, and if the Holy Spirit has just put His finger on something, then acknowledge it. It's the first step. So thank you. Thank you. There's hands all over the place. And so just keep your hand up just for a moment. No one's watching, and it doesn't matter. Just take a step of faith. Let's be courageous here. Lord, I need to let this go. I need to let this go. So Father, you see the hands across the room today. And I ask in Jesus' name. The only name that matters, the only name that counts at the end of the day, the name that gives us power, that the same power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in us. And so, Lord, we have the ability to let it go with your help. We have the ability to get the healing that we need with your help. We have the ability to make the sweet exchange, to let go of our ash and to pick up the beauty, to let go of the heaviness and to pick up the joy. Father, today, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person in the house, particularly those who raise their hands. Lord, whatever it is in Jesus' name that's been hindering us from walking with you, from walking in fullness, Lord, it's time. We say we want to let it go. You've revealed it this morning, and now we're asking that you would replace it by the power of your Spirit. We will work. We will work with you. But Lord, we are sick and tired of this being in our lives, and we want to walk in freedom and in power with more grace, more compassion, more kindness. Let go of our self-esteem issues. Let go of our fear. Let go, Lord, of our baggage that's been hindering our walk with Christ. In Jesus' name, Father, I speak freedom over the house today. May we walk in freedom. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So come, Holy Spirit. You are invited to do your work that only you can do. Make the exchange and set us free. We are fighting not just for ourselves, but for a lost world that needs the hope of Jesus. So do it in me so that you can do more through me, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we commit this to you. May the enemy be defeated, I pray in Jesus' name. He's had his way for too long, And now we ask that he would be defeated and that Jesus would rise strong in our lives and in our homes and in our families, that this is not going to be an issue anymore, but that we would be men and women who could walk in your grace and in your freedom. And so we bless you today, and we commit this to you. Come on, God's people said amen. 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 Amen.